to share a few thoughts about the Christmas season before the kids finish off the rest of the alphabet. We were going through this last Sunday, and I had written in the schedule of things that were going to happen a short sermonette, and it was pointed out to me that a sermonette is already a short sermon, and so short sermonette is even shorter than that. So I will do my best. I've only got two thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. The first, as I come up to the Christmas season, I always think about, it just gives me a little bit of extra time away from work. I get to spend some time, more time than normal at home, and I often will have a little bit, after the Christmas season particularly, between Christmas and New Year's, you get a little bit of extra time for thinking, for contemplation, and so recently I've been thinking a lot about the Incarnation. And incarnation is really just a fancy word that means to take on a body. And so it refers to the fact that Christ was the second person of the Trinity, and he existed forever. You know, he was pre-existent before the world was there, was ever formed. He was there and part of the world being formed. And it was only 2,000 years ago, you know, that he took on the form of a human being, and that's what we remember at Christmas time. Michelle and I recently had our second. We have a 7-week-old, a little boy at home. So I've been, it's been very, apparent to me what it's like to have a baby around, and just babies have sort of been on the brain. So I have this juxtaposition in my mind. On the one hand, you have this little helpless baby, you know, you cradle them in your arms, and many of you, I'm sure, have held a baby, if not all of you, and so you know what that's like. And on the other hand, I think about the glory of God, and I think about how immense this person is, that Moses asked to, you know, what should I call you? How can I refer to you? And God's response was, I am. I am. I am the one who is. I simply am. He's the essence of what it means to exist. And so I've got this, you know, somehow, it's a pretty incredible miracle that all the Colossians, which I'll get to in a second, says the fullness of who God is somehow perfectly embodied in this little tiny infant who came into the world the same way that you and I did. And that's been boggling my mind a little bit. So I'm going to read from Colossians a little section of scripture that talks about this. It's from the first chapter of Colossians. I'm going to read verses 15 through 20. In this passage, Paul is writing, and he's talking about Christ. He's talking about the Savior. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The second thing that I've been thinking about is the fact that he came to us. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word, or Christ, came and took on flesh and dwelt with us. There are a lot of faiths in the world. There are a lot of religions out there. And most of them operate on the premise that here is perfection up here. Here is what is divine. And this is a system for you to get there. You've got to do a lot of work and do this and do that, and this is how you can get there. And Christianity, I think, is one of the only faith, where that perfection came in the opposite direction to us, dwelt with us, came to us. And I've been thinking not only about the fact that Christ left heaven and came to earth to work as a carpenter, do, you know, menial labor, walk around, have dinner with people like you and I. I've been thinking about the fact that he still, He still does that today. He still comes to us. And what I mean by that is, sometimes I think as Christians, if you weren't a Christian, if you didn't ever go to church, if you didn't have a faith background, you might think that there, in order to be a Christian, there was a fairly long list of things you needed to do. You needed to know how to sing worship songs. You likely would probably have to have a Bible or have read one or something along those lines. But he comes to people, comes to us where we're at in our lives. And there are very few requirements. The only two that I can think of are, first, you must have an honest, humble opinion about yourself and recognize that you've made mistakes. It's very difficult if you think you've been perfect. And secondly, you've got to recognize that Christ and God is perfect. And so if those are the only thing. It has nothing to do with your spiritual background, your family, none of those things matter. So I'll just finish up with a verse from Revelation, Revelation 3:20. It's Jesus speaking, and he says the following. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me.